brother.
God.
What's up?
This is a hey, good recording, it, man.
Yeah,
I
brother,
dig
like,
it.
Stop. Right on.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. Good morning to you. Connor, how you doing?
Doing all right, Earl.
All right, man. It's good to see you as always. It's Friday, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's Friday. I'm happy.
Right.
I hate to be that blunt about it, but I am.
You know, we've got this other guy on the other end. It doesn't matter whether it's Friday or Monday or Sunday or Tuesday or any
other day. There are different days of the week.
hey, that's none other.
Not every day. Every day is Groundhog.
that's the other side of this. On Mondays and Fridays, my co-host Sandy Williams. Hey, Sandy, how you doing, man?
Well, how are you doing?
Man, I'm doing fine, man. I really am.
You know, I think Milwaukee ought to be handing out cigars, you know, like you do when you have a kid, because I just read this morning about an unbelievable birth here in Milwaukee. I don't know if you saw it. Our zoo's giraffe had a child, okay? And the amazing thing about it, I mean, that's hardly newsworthy, but then I was told that this child was 5'11" upon birth and weighed 168 pounds. That's a mother that mother definitely deserves some kind of a medal.
Was it through artificial insemination? Did it say?
No. That's the way you conceive them. That's the way you conceive them. That's not the way you birth them. This is just to get that one.
Yeah. Well, Sandy, that's earth shattering information.
Well, you know, in fact, if that baby dropped. Instead of, you know, I don't know whether the mother is standing or lying down when they're born, but if she was standing, that was earth shaking.
You know, Sandy, man, there is so much going on, so much to talk about. You know, sometimes it's a struggle to find things to talk about. Other times there's just not enough room. You know,
recording stopped,
and not enough hours of the show to really get into all these different things. But I want to begin with you, my friend.
Recording in progress.
I'm hearing stuff in my ear, but okay. Sandy, can you still hear me?
Oh yes.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm just recording you guys.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. So Sandy, I want to. There's going to be 87. New in the next several years, IRS people who are going to check and see whether or not, you know, people are doing their due diligence with their taxes, and it appears that on the Republican side of this, they're saying that they're going to solely be going after the everyday Joe guy and gal, and here's what I don't understand, Sandy. Our government is in need of resources, and it, you know, we have a responsibility, civic responsibility. It's always been the case to pay taxes, right? Whether we like it or not, and the IRS has always been the entity to collect those taxes. And that was, I don't know, Sandy, if it was under George Bush Sr. or Jr., there was a point in time when they kind of took money out of the IRS collections. I forgot who it was, where they took away agents.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember that or not.
I do remember it, and it was really, the people who get audited, quite frankly, are people who make quite a bit of money. So, you know, it's sort of a cost-benefit analysis they go through to figure out who should be audited. So, they do enough auditing and enough follow-up to make sure we do pay our taxes, because the United States is one of the few countries that does a very effective job of collecting taxes. most countries are filled with tax cheats and people who understand that if they cheat just a little bit on their taxes, they'll always get away with it. And in the United States, they've done a good enough job of enforcement. So anyone who cheats must do it with a sense of apprehension as to, like, not if, but maybe when they'll get caught. So that's a good thing. You know, that's it's good that we have that kind of collection, that kind of collection effort that makes it easy to collect taxes. But it's true that during one of the Bushes, and I don't remember when, they decided to take their foot off the pedal. I think it was because they knew that it was going to be the wealthy people who view tax audits as harassment, just like President Trump. You know, he talked about how he was getting harassed for getting audited.
Right.
And it's the wealthy people who have complicated tax arrangements, right? So that they probably need to be audited. And it's also likely that that some of this auditing people, I mean, the Republicans are trying to make it a political issue by saying it's Tom, Dick, and Mary that will get audited.
Right.
But at the time, in the bill and in the discussion of it, they also said that they were adding people so they could do an effective job of auditing corporations, because a tax audit of a corporation is a complex matter that requires quite a few people to evaluate it.
So Sandy, our government needs resources, no question whatsoever. And so what's wrong? I don't see, Sandy, a political issue in saying we're going to bring these agents on. We need them. We know that there are resources out there that the government needs and we, the American people, need to make sure that we can have the things that we need in this country. What how can that be shifted to, well, they're coming after you, they're coming after your families, they're coming after the poorest amongst us? I mean, what is that?
Well, you know, there are sectors of the economy, the ones that operate and try to operate in cash, that are probably right. trying to operate under the tax radar screen a little bit, if
right.
not a lot.
Right.
So but I think it was long known that in the service industry, waiters and wait staff and people like that probably didn't report all of their tip income,
right.
even though it was income. And there are people who you'll do business with now who will say, gosh, can you please pay me in cash?
Right.
You know, and they don't even have to say nudge, nudge, wink, wink. You understand why they want that.
Right.
So there is sort of a shadow gray economy in the United States like that, but that's not what the IRS
is going after.
That's not what they're going after. They're going after the big money and not all of that. And they have gone after that to some extent, because now if you're a wait staff person, there is a presumption of a tip level that you will receive. So, you know, that you will get taxed and there will be money withheld from your income that will be based upon an assumed tip level. So it's a lot harder today for that kind of grayness to go on.
You know, Sandy, what I'm hearing again from the Republican side of it, and I know it's that dreaded politics again, is that the real money is with the people, the average people, is that's out there. It's not the people who are so well off. And so this is who they're really coming after. And the fact that there are people who don't see that or don't understand that. And it's because we have no concept at all. There's what, less than 100,000 billionaires? So you just figure, well, that's only 100,000 people. That certainly is not that much money when you're looking at all the rest of the 300 and some odd million American people. But I guess we have no concept of really the kind of resources that 1,000 billionaires have.
Yeah, well, you take 1,000 billionaires, that's $1 trillion if they only have a billion each. And so that's a lot of money. And, you know, Jesse James, they asked him, I think, why do you rob banks? And he said, that's where the money is. And that's why the IRS is going to chase people who have quite a bit of money. But also, having been a lawyer in a large firm and having gotten at least an indirect understanding of the complexity of the ways in which people with substantial amounts of wealth control the taxes they pay for their wealth, there's plenty of room for audit associated with it. They're getting advice from accountants and lawyers and people who are telling them and giving them advice to carry out tax avoidance. This is perfectly lawful tax avoidance, but some of it's quite edgy, right? And there are people who go without advice who carry out even edgier kinds of things. And there's plenty of money to be pursued amongst the wealthy for taxes.
You know, Sandy, it also then will push on the other side of this a conversation that has been going on for a long time, and that's a flat tax. And so you're going to hear more and more and more about flat tax after this again, and people are going to say, see, that's why we need the flat tax.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm an advocate of the flat tax. It makes tax collection simple. And, at Obama, during the Obama period, he had the opportunity when there was some kind of a massive discussion of massive tax revision to implement a flat tax. And at that point, the flat tax needed to be, I think, about 22%, where if everyone who made income paid 22%. And if there was a tax exemption for the first $50,000 of income, so people who earn $50,000 and less would pay no taxes. And people who earn more than $50,000 would pay 22% of the amount over $50,000. And there were no deductions, so you didn't get interest deductions or charity deductions or any of it. That's a pretty reasonable tax. You know, that's probably less than a lot of people pay. And it's a low tax on the low-income earners, and it would be very easy to collect.
You know, Sandy, when we come back from break, I want you to again, because these tax codes just keep changing, and they're not being changed by the business community. They're not being changed by the average everyday taxpayer. They're being changed by the attorneys. They're being changed by our elected officials. And so, Sandy, we got to go to a break. We got to go to a break.
Yeah.
So I want you to hold that thought. No better guy to talk about this than Sandy Williams. 844-967-2789 is the number. It's Friday. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams, my co-host. We'll be right back.